Welcome to Success Unlimited with America's success thought leaders, Tim and Tom Simmons. This podcast is dedicated to exploring the journeys of thought leaders, business leaders, authors, speakers, podcasters, and various individuals' journeys to success and the challenges they had to overcome along the way. We are very thankful that you decided to listen in to our podcast. Like and subscribe to Success Unlimited's podcast and socials to receive updates when new episodes are released. Do you have an idea of who you'd like to hear? Let us know by commenting on our socials or by emailing info@mymentorhq.co. Now, we hope you enjoy this episode of Success Unlimited.
Welcome to Success Unlimited podcast. I'm your host, Tom Simmons. And with us today, we have a very special guest, Todd Halls. He is a coach, father, Christ follower. Todd, great to have you with us. If you wouldn't mind kicking off the show by telling us a little bit about who you are.
Tom, well, first, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. It's an honor. Thank you.
The honor is mine. We're excited to hear what you have to say. Everything I've read about you in our previous conversations has been absolutely amazing. And your story, I can't wait for our audience to hear your story.
Cool. Well, thank you. So to real quick, who am I think was the question. Well, you hit the important ones. Christ follower, husband, dad. I also happen to be a business owner and entrepreneur, and have been self-employed or owned a business owner for 25 years. So for a while now, and yeah, currently spend my time as a leadership and business coach.
When you say a leadership and business coach, if I'm an entrepreneur, I love business. Why would I need to speak with you? What when you say a business coach or a leadership coach, how do you coach?
So how do I coach? I'm going to go with the first part of your question, which is why would you need to speak with me as a business owner?
And there could be
a number of reasons, but typically it stems from some level of frustration on your part as a business owner, and either you're wearing a lot of hats still, and just get caught up in the busyness and constantly in the busy mode where you're not really in the productive mode anymore, doing things in the business that really don't. They don't just fuel your energy, right? You find them draining, but they're things that have to be done in a business. So that'd be one reason. Another reason could be, you've got a team, and they're all pulling hard, but not necessarily in the exact same direction. So it's a little bit disjointed. So just trying to get all that human energy pointed in the same direction. Maybe you've got a young leader or a young leadership team, or, folks that you have promoted or want to promote, and they've never been taught anything about leadership, and just need some coaching on how to grow into the role, so that they're not, so they don't experience the Peter principle where they get promoted to their level of incompetence because we haven't given them the tools they need to do the job. So those would be some reasons. There's probably more than that, but that'll get you started.
I have a lot of questions here. So with Todd Hall's coaching, is there a specific industry and size of business that you like to work with?
So industry, I tend to find myself liking the blue collar businesses. And so what I mean by that is that they're a business where at least some portion of their employees are probably have calloused hands, are getting a little bit dirty. It could be in manufacturing, construction, landscaping, et cetera. But those blue collar businesses are where I tend to find myself attracted to, probably just due to my background. I grew up in the concrete business. That's where I kind of cut my teeth in business. So that's probably part of it. As far as size goes, I've got everything from solopreneurs up to companies with 60 to 100 employees. So a fairly decent range. So blue collar businesses, let's just say up to 100, 150 employees. If they happen to be outliers above that, we can serve them.
Awesome. And I want to take a step back. You mentioned the concrete business. Was that your dad's company or?
So it wasn't. I had an older half brother who worked construction. He was a lot older than I was. So he's kind of my hero, but I remember seeing, he worked construction. And so I looked up to him, and then I was 20 when I got my first official job, pouring concrete. So prior to that, my dad had my folks had a real estate company. They were entrepreneurs as long as I remember. So they had a real estate brokerage, and then my dad started a sawmill. So I started working in the sawmill probably when I was 12, somewhere in that age. So again, blue collar, physical, outside labor. And then when I was 20, I started pouring concrete and fell in love with it. And people used to ask, what do you like about it? And flippantly, kind of half kidding, more serious than not, is like, well, I like tool belts and work boots, calloused hands, and big trucks. That was
not necessarily in that order, right?
Right.
You mentioned a sawmill. I was born in Arkansas, where a lot of my family is from. And on one side of the family were owned a lot of sawmills and lumber and yards. And so I can relate to a lot of the growing up around the sawmill and have some deep family history in that. So what gave you the inspiration on the coaching side? I mean, it's not like you woke up one day and said, I'm going to go coach businesses. What led to that?
So it's probably related to the whole journey since I started in business in 1999. And as I think back, it's maybe even goes back to when I, growing up, ties into it as well. My dad got sick when I was pretty young. So he battled a heart disease, and just due to the way their business was set up, basically, a lot of the years it took him out of it. And so then without systems in place to help that business continue to run, the weight of that fell on or was carried by my mother, who, had amazing work ethic, was super, just a smart, hardworking, awesome lady. And still is. She's still selling real estate. She's 80 years old, and she's still in the game because she loves it. She loves helping people. But anyhow, to answer your question, we're in the concrete business, and we had some pretty good success. We grew to over 2 million annual within a few years, and got in on a contract with a general contractor that was had less integrity than we did. And so that was a pretty big stumbling block. So had to pick ourselves up and tighten our belts and get back up and do it again. And it got to the point where the business, I resented the business. I'd gone into business on some level for freedom, and ended up feeling like a prisoner, like trapped in the business. We had no system. So we ran on, it was somewhat chaotic. And our solution to everything was just work harder, which is good for a while, but eventually it takes its toll. And so in 2007, I got sick. I've got some nerve damage that happened spontaneously, so to speak. And it was that was next to my wife and my son, one of the biggest blessings of my life, because it was my wake up call. I'd been a smoker for 18 years. I probably, at 36, I was already not in good health. And then this happened, and that's part of the story because of that, I had to try and figure out how to get my physicality back. And so I started trying to exercise on my own, stumbled across CrossFit in like 2009, and so started using that methodology of training. And, who knows why the unit combination, the challenge of it, what it required, I started to improve physically. And so I decided I wanted to open a CrossFit gym. And at the time, Tom, I wasn't walking real close with the Lord, and I wanted to open this gym for completely selfish reasons. I wanted a cool place to train with cool people. And so still was in concrete, but opened the CrossFit gym and really quickly discovered I loved helping people live fuller, healthier lives. And it happened to be through fitness at that point. But what I noticed is people would come in and invest time in themselves. And I say it that way because it's not even that they necessarily were there long enough to see real physical improvements. But after just a couple of weeks of showing up regularly, their posture would start to change. They'd be standing up straighter. They'd be smiling more. And I think there's this internal thing that happens when we start investing in ourselves. We recognize that we're putting value, you know, we're of value to us. Mm-hmm. And it just changes our demeanor. And then over time, I'd notice that their careers would start to improve after training for a while without any real other changes. It was kind of like this was the start of it. And then pretty soon, I'd hear that maybe their relationships were, you know, with their spouses, significant other was better. And so it's all intertwined. It's this ripple effect. And if we, you know, whether it's our spiritual journey, our key relationships with family or spouse, our physical health, our career, anytime we improve one of those, it creates this ripple effect and this domino effect. So discovered I love doing that. God reached out to me in a dream and called me back, so to speak. And so as I started to step back into the faith, not that I'd ever turned away from it, I just wasn't real active. It's kind of like, you know, you've got a good friend in high school and then you go off to college and you don't see each other for 15 years. But then when you see each other, it's like, hey, we're best friends again. Well, fortunately, that relationship was available to me with my Savior. And so I joined a group called CBMC, Christian Businessmen's Connection, in 2013. In 2014, they offered, it was the first I heard of it, leadership coaching for, you know, Christian businessmen. And so I took a leadership coaching course. It's an 8-week course, very interactive. And Tom, it was so eye-opening to switch just the way you're communicating. And instead of giving the answers as I'd done for however many years as the owner of the concrete business, now it was all more about asking questions and listening to understand and, you know, creating space for other people. And it changed the way I was able to communicate with prospective members, with, you know, in the gym, and my members in the gym and my family and everything, all my relationships started to get better. And so I recognized the power in this coaching way of communicating. I ended up taking that course 2 more times and got value from it every time. And as I was doing that, I was growing the CrossFit gym. And like before, I was good at some aspects of it, but I still hadn't developed good skills as a business owner. So I found myself leaving the house at 4:30 in the morning. Sometimes, a lot of times it was 7 o'clock at night when I get home. And Nina and Orion, you know, is, you know, 12 at the time, 11, 10. So, and they're like, hey, we'd like you home for dinner once in a while. So finally, I hired a business coach, 2017-18, and they started teaching without calling it. They just started teaching me the tools of an operational framework, and it happened to be the tools of EOS, right? Filling out your VTO and creating a scoreboard or scorecard and an accountability chart, and all these things. And even as a small, you know, one full time owner and 6 part-time coaches, it started to create structure in this business, and it freed me up to not be there all the time. And we created processes, and so I didn't have to be part of every onboarding anymore. So that's a long way of answering your question. But in 2019, we felt called to leave Minnesota and move to Florida. I decided immediately that I was just going to sell the gym. I felt that was best for the gym and the community. And I had enough, you know, thanks to the operational framework, I actually had an asset I could sell. And so it wasn't a question of, hey, I'm selling the gym, what will I do now? It was simply, oh, now I'm going to step into this role as a leadership coach that, you know, as I look back, you know, God's been calling me to this and prepped me for it for 20 years, first through my own struggles, then through CBMC and this leadership coaching that happened, you know, 5 years before when I wasn't really intending to do this. And so that's how I got here, with the sense that also through CBMC, I learned the influence that we as business owners have is tremendous. I think I've heard it said that a business owner, the boss, has 7 times more influence than a person's pastor. So that's a huge responsibility for us as business owners. And so as a business coach, if I can come in and help a business develop the systems and the processes so that owner can get their head up out of the weeds, catch their breath, and really stay in their zone of genius, they're going to create positive impact, I believe, that's really infinite in their families, their communities, their and beyond. And so that's how I got here and why I do what I do.
So I've been taking notes and I have so many questions to ask you, but I want to touch on something that you mentioned that I think you'll appreciate. And I don't think enough people take this into consideration with their life is a legacy statement. And I had a question. I said, well, what is a legacy statement? And I asked one of my mentors, I said, you're talking about a vision statement. No, a legacy statement. And it's not about you. It's about who you leave behind. So what will be your legacy to those? How will you help on an ongoing basis those who remain on this earth after you're dead and gone? And I started thinking, what is my purpose? This just happened to me about a month ago. And for me, I'll read my legacy statement. And my legacy is to leave a global virtual incubator, business incubator, to assist entrepreneurs with education, funding, and affordable operational support systems to help support their community and their families. And the two largest needs of a business is funding and business knowledge. And so you mentioned some of the things you mentioned. It kind of struck a nerve with me in a good way and just brought that memory back. But I want to ask you about, it seems like when you went through the leadership coach through CNBC in 2014, one of the fundamental things you said changed was your communication. How did your communication change?
I started asking more questions and open-ended questions.
Okay.
And in doing so, and then listening to understand. So prior to that, as the business owner, a lot of times when one of the foremen would call, when somebody would call, they had a problem and they wanted an answer. And so for speed, you just answer it, do this, this, and this, and it'll be fine. Versus, well, give me your best three options. What do you think we should do? And then staying quiet and letting them share what they think. And actually, it enables them to think. And it makes it harder for them at first. And in them, it could be an employee. It could be your best friend. It could be somebody you meet at church. Could be a stranger. But rather than, I think most of us have the answer, the best answer for us within us, if given space to think about it, if somebody can help draw that out. And so that's how I changed my communication. I stopped giving solutions, my solutions, and started asking questions so they could draw their own solutions.
That's awesome. And really the success of all that is knowing A, what type of question to ask, and then B, how to ask that question. Something you've seemed to have mastered. You've taken that leadership course 3 times. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
And so you have a pretty good handle on leadership. So how would you define leadership?
So I'm going to take the easy way out as a member of the Maxwell, of, you know, the John Maxwell organization, Maxwell leadership team. Leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. And I'll expound on that a little bit if you want.
Please do.
So if we're in a company, right, and we're the owner and we cast a vision and say, you know what, we want to impact 100,000 small businesses in the next 20 years because we know small businesses, that those owners will create an infinite positive ripple effect. And the whole team can see that vision and get on board, right? And we can lead them on that path. We can influence them to do that. That's positive leadership. On the flip side, have you ever been in the grocery store and you've seen the mom or the dad with the five-year-old that wants something, and the mom or dad says, no, you can't have it. And they say, I want it. And they say, no. And the child just like has a meltdown. And the adult takes them by the hand and leads them out of the store. I would tell you that the child is leading at that moment. the adult had no intention of leaving the store, but because of the child's influence, they were led to change direction. And so leadership is influence. I think that's what I think.
And you mentioned the EOS system. For those who don't know, that is the Entrepreneurial Operating System, VTO's Vision Tracking Organizer. And EOS is really based upon the book written by Gina Wickman called Traction. I highly recommend that book. In fact, I use it in my own businesses. I have a copy with me right here. But you mentioned you really worked through EOS, and using those principles allowed you to sell the CrossFit business. What happened to the concrete business? Did you shut that down, or did you sell it off? Or
in 2016, we just closed it down and sold off used equipment at used equipment prices. Yep. Like it was kind of a fire sale exit. Let's be done. I'd lost interest. Didn't want, it just wasn't. Yeah. So shut it down, sold stuff off. And like I said, and I recognize the difference, because without this framework in the CrossFit gym, I'd have sold off used fitness equipment at used fitness equipment prices instead of actually having a business to sell. It's not a huge exit, but it was significant. Just the difference in it was significant.
Yeah. And I will say, I want to say this, the stat is 93% of businesses go unsold every year. And in the next 10 years, I know we're going to be going through a dramatic transition from baby boomers who have a net, businesses have a combined net wealth of like $10 trillion or something like that. And most of those will go unsold because the kids don't want them. They have no way to transfer, no way to sell. And by you using a principled approach, instituting well-communicated leadership principles, you were able to sell CrossFit and then just have an asset sale, which is a good way of saying you don't sell the liabilities. You just have an asset sale of a company on your concrete side. But you were going to say something there, and I kept going.
I've lost it now. So back to the notes.
Yeah, but I found that very interesting. And you talked about the toddler. You talked about leadership, and I mentioned the EOS for a reason just a few minutes ago. And I want to say that a lot of businesses and entrepreneurs, if they work with family or they have someone that came, they started with them, and they were at the founding of the company or inception of the company, a good friend, they will elevate their friend, their family member, or someone they really like to a position of positional authority and call it leadership, and versus looking at making sure that you have the right person with the right skill sets that gets it, has the capacity to do the job and do it well. And would you agree with that statement?
I would. And so thinking of, John Maxwell talks about the five levels of leadership, and level one is just by position, right? They're leading because they've got the title of manager or, crew leader or shift leader or whatever it is. So, and you think about that, a lot of times we are all in that. So you could meet, the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. And in that moment, if you were hired by him, right? In that moment, he's only leading by position because he hasn't shown you any ability to lead. He hasn't added anything to you, no value. So the second level is leadership of, by permission. So now you've seen them in action a little bit. You've given them permission to lead. And so we all start in every relationship. It's the leadership by position. To your point, it's not uncommon for people to get put elevated to that spot and never develop, never choose to grow, never invest in themselves, never seek the help to become a level two, level three leader. They just stay leadership by position, and they lead by because I said so. and I'm the leader, right? Rather than guiding, leading, clearing obstacles, doing all the things that a good leader does as a support system rather than a dictator.
You articulated what I was trying to say, but in a much better way. Thank you. You mentioned John Maxwell a few times. I've read many of his books. I recognize him as an authoritative figure on leadership. He has a lot of fresh ideas. I really enjoy his teachings. Is that probably the single most influential leadership person or personality in the past few years that you've really kind of tied into? And
the risk of giving the Sunday school answer.
That's all right.
No, Jesus would be my best example of just servant leadership. Yes. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. And through his humility and humble leading, he changed the world. So that's where I go.
And I have nothing further, Your Honor. I'm done. That's it. Mic drop. No, that's an excellent answer. I had a follow-up answer or question rather that I was going to ask you. I kept hearing John Maxwell, John Maxwell, John Maxwell. Let me step back and take a different approach. Jesus being the ultimate coach, life coach, business coach. There are books out there that, Business by the Good Book and other books out there as well. Can you recommend to our audience the top three books that you would recommend an entrepreneur read?
An entrepreneur? Sure. The Ultimate Sales Machine by Chet Holmes.
Okay.
There's a new book out called Renegades by Benj Miller. He's the founder of System and Soul. And so I would recommend Renegades. And then also you have to include Traction in it, in that list of books for entrepreneurs. And if not Traction, I'd put the E-Myth, depending on where they're at in the journey, but either the E-Myth or Traction, just to read them like three times, listen to them twice, get some of these things ingrained that you got many hats to wear, and it's not enough to be a really good technician. Whatever your field of whatever your technical ability is, it's if you're starting a business, get one of these books, get all three of these books, tear into them, read them, and just live out those principles.
That's awesome. So the Renegade, and I have not heard of. I'll have to check that out. I appreciate that. And what about leadership books? Who are the? Do you have a top one or two books for leadership you recommend?
So, of course, I'm going to mention Maxwell, right? And the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership is great. The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. It's really about personal growth. Mm-hmm. And this is another Maxwell saying, and as I've reflected on my journey, it's so true. The hardest person to lead is the guy or gal in the mirror, right? And so that the 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth has been a great one. Tim Spiker is an author, and he's got a book called The Only Leaders Worth Following. And again, coming back to the System and Soul framework, it's one of the tools we have for team development. And it's just a phenomenal, phenomenal book. Talks about, they did a study of over 20,000 CEOs. And of these 20,000 CEOs, 10 attributes kept rising to the top of what really makes an effective leader. And of the 10, two rose to the top as determining about 77% of a leader's effectiveness. So, back to that 80-20 rule, right? Two of the 10 attributes contribute to almost 80% of the leader's effectiveness. And so there's just so much gold in that book. And with that as the basis, then to go into, Maxwell's books on more the tactical side of it and what, how to step in and develop yourself as a leader would be a good combination.
Yeah. Just in the short 29 minutes we've been recording, you have dropped gold nuggets everywhere. Just you're a wealth of knowledge and wisdom, life, leadership, business. It has been truly an amazing interview and conversation. I always ask the same question to at the very end of every interview. And that is, if you could take one person, either from the past or in the present, to dinner, who would that be and why would you take that person to dinner?
So just so everybody knows, my first answer would be the Sunday school answer.
Yes.
I would sit down with Jesus. After that, I would probably, and I haven't read the book yet, but I think it'd be Abraham Lincoln. Because as I understand it, after he was elected, when he went to put together his cabinet, he called his opponents and invited them to sit on the cabinet. I may not have this exactly right. There's a book about it, out about it, but essentially he surrounded himself that with people that would think differently than he did and could challenge mm-hmm. him. And so, which leads, you know, I think it's so important for, well, I don't need to go into that. It'd be Abraham Lincoln, partly because of just his leadership philosophy, the fact that he just surrounded himself with opponents and people that thought differently, but also the time he was in, and the just extreme amount of change that was going on within the country. It just to know and just to learn to get into his mind for a little, for a bit would be amazing.
That's awesome. And as we wrap up, if a member of our audience wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
So they can email me, Todd, T-O-D-D, at coachtoddhalls.com. They can go to the website, www.coachtoddhalls.com. I'm on LinkedIn. You can find me there, LinkedIn/ Todd Halls. Facebook, I think it's TD Halls. So all those places. You can call me at 507-382-6500. Those are the best ways I can think of, Tom.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate your time, your willingness just to give away information and be genuine and be real. It has been a pleasure speaking with you.
The pleasure has been mine. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's interview. Every week, we release two new episodes. Remember to follow Success Unlimited's podcast wherever you listen. Thanks again for listening in.